السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, for the last few weeks we have been speaking about social problems. As I have promised many a times in the past that for many Jumu'ahs we will speak about our social problems and we will try to find the solution at the same time. One of the blessings of Islam that became apparent in the time of the Nabi of Allah was the brotherhood that was on display. So when Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwara, his presence brought people together. And this is one of the objectives of our religion, that the religion of Islam does not only focus upon rituals, but at the same time it focuses upon the health of our social structure. So it is most important to pinpoint the social problems that we have that do not allow us to reach the high podium of brotherhood. For the last few weeks we have been speaking about reconciliation, how important it is to reconcile and to address our issues and to become brothers once again. But I would like to speak about the problem from the inception rather than reconciliation, because there is a journey that takes two people to reach the junction of reconciliation. So there's a journey. Where does that journey start from? Why do two people have to reconcile? But before we speak about that, I would like to make mention of a very famous statement, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَى, that for every ailment there is a cure, there is a remedy. This is the sunnah of Allah Almighty, that if we find that there is an ailment, may it be that that ailment is pertaining to the physical, there is a remedy, there is a cure. And if there is an ailment pertaining to the spirituality, there is a cure as well. Because Allah Almighty knows that a person cannot reach perfection and he cannot become the person that he deserves to be if he does not attain physical and spiritual health. So there has to be a cure for the physical and there has to be a cure for the spiritual. Now we know that there are so many spiritual ailments that lie within us and they are blossoming and flourishing. And many a times we take them very lightly and we do not address them at the primitive stage, at the initial stage, and they become very, very strong. Even nowadays the doctors say that if we can detect the cancer at the initial stages, we can cure it. But if we do not detect it in the primitive stages, it will be very hard to control it, to sustain it, to cure it. Basically, the same principle applies to the spiritual ailments as well, that we need to address them and grasp them and seize them in their primitive stages. Now one person, he goes to the doctor and he says, "Doctor, I've got high blood pressure, I've got diabetes, I don't feel very energetic." So the doctor is listening to the problems. After he stops, the doctor says, stand on the scale. And he stands on the scale. And the doctor finds that he is overweight. So the doctor says, I'll give you one solution that will cure all your problems. One solution that will cure all your problems. And that is lose weight. One solution cures all problems. So he says, if you can lose weight, you will find that your diabetes will become better, your blood pressure will become better, your energy levels will become better. I can give you one tablet, it may address the diabetes, but it has no guarantee that it will resolve the other problem. But I can give you the door. If you walk through that door, you will leave behind all the problems, all the sicknesses. Now we need to know what is the obesity of our social problem. What is that one sickness that allows many, many different windows to open that do not allow us to attain one of the mightiest objectives of Islam, and that is brotherhood. So we need to study the journey of insan, humanity. And if we go right back, when our forefather came into existence from non-existence, and I'm alluding to Hazrat Adam alayhi salat wa salam, Allah Almighty said to Iblis that bow in front of Adam. And as we all know, he declined. مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What has prevented you from bowing in front of Adam? This is my order. And his simple reply that had a stench of disobedience and a stench of arrogance and a mighty stench of jealousy was, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِّنْ نَارْ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِّنْ ثِينَ. That I am better. I am better. It starts from here. I've spoken about this many a times. If I want to encapsulate أَنَا خَيْرٌ in a modern terminology, it is judgmental. If I want to encapsulate أَنَا خَيْرٌ, that I am better in a modern term that is well known to us, it is to be judgmental. Because only that person will judge another who believes that he is better. Allah can judge us because there is no doubt about it, he is better than us. And that's why Allah says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. إن الحكم إلا لله إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. It is only Allah who deserves to be the judge, because He is an embodiment of perfection. Satan slipped by saying أنا خير, I am better. He was judgmental. He started to judge the order of Allah. He started to judge the new species that came from non-existence into existence. He started to judge himself. And he said that my argument is that I am made out of fire and he's made out of clay. Now the scholars say that the spiritual sickness that allowed him to travel through this journey, that brought him to the injunction of disobedience, was hasad. A person does not bring out this evil trait instantly. There's a journey that propels him to arrive at that junction. So there has to be some kind of fuel that pushes the person to travel through this journey and then to arrive at that junction, allow him to develop that audacity through which he can Say, أنا خير من, I am better. And that is hasad. Indeed, we are humans, we have our weaknesses. Many a times we find that jealousy, hasad, is building up inside. But there's a very simple formula that I would like to share, and this is my talk for today, because I believe that hasad is one of the social, or you could say one of the spiritual ailments that allows us to become the wicked person that we should not be. We become wicked, we become evil. And we do not realize, because it's over time. It is over time. But there is a cure, and it is very simple in words, but it demands great courage. My Shaykh Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, has made mention that he was traveling or visiting Cape Town. And their train stopped for some time at a station. So they thought that we have a 15 or 20 minutes stop, so we should establish a prayer. So the tour guide, he said, yes, it is better that we establish the prayer. So they went to this area that was free from people. They made their wudu and they started to pray. After the prayer, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib looked at this plant, and it was so beautiful. He said the colors were so beautiful, and it had many, many leaves. And Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib said, I went and I was just to touch the leaf of that plant that was a magnet. It drew me to it. And the tour guide said, Hazrat, stop, 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 don't touch it. Hazrat said, why? He said, because if you touch this leaf, there's venom in it. And the pain that you will experience is the pain that a person experiences after a scorpion injects its venom. Oh. I said, Allahu Akbar. So shukr, you told me. Shukr that you told me. But then Hazrat asked a question. He said, look, you prevented me from touching this leaf that had venom. But if somebody does touch it, because it is so attractive, it draws itself. And from this we learn that not everything beautiful is blissful. Not everything that is beautiful is blissful. That's why it has been said this dunya is beautiful in its appearance, but it's not blissful. On the day of judgment, it has been said that there will be this old, ugly lady. Old and ugly lady. You couldn't even give it the first glance, let alone the second glance. Can't even look at it. And that will be dunya in the physical form. That will be dunya in the physical form. So right now, the dunya has used a lot of makeup. It's spending billions and billions of dollars on its makeup. And because of that thick base and that thick makeup, we can't see the true face of it. But on the day of judgment, it will not have the makeup. It will come in its original form. And it will be very, very ugly. And the person will say, I have no ta'alluq with you, no relationship with you. How foolish was I that I was pursuing you? How foolish was I? So coming back to the story, not everything beautiful is blissful. So Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he said, Hazrat, if somebody did touch it, what happens? The Hazrat was thinking they will have to take him straight away to the hospital. He says, no. It's Allah's Qudrat, Allah's Khaliqiyat, Allah's might. That wherever we find this plant, there is a plant around it that has the antidote, the cure. So you will find that leaf, you touch that leaf immediately after that, and you will find that you have recovered. لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دُوَى. For every ailment, there's a cure. Now hasad is an ailment that destroys our social structure. So there has to be a cure for it. Allah places the cure, Allah placed that plant there. That was the cure for that beautiful plant. But we had to go and find it. Even the doctors, they make so much research. They spend billions and billions. The cure is there. It's for us to put it together. The pieces are there. It's for us to put the jigsaw puzzle together. So Allah reward the ulama. They have studied this evil trait, this spiritual ailment. And they have come up with one method amongst many that works wonders. Now, I would like you to listen to this method and try to digest it first, because it's not easy. Before we speak about the method, I'm just going to give you a snapshot of yourself and myself in the night. Mother is sick. Mother is sick. So the doctor says 50-50. She may survive, she may not survive. This is your mother, or this is our mother. So we stand up at night in the nocturnal prayer and we make dua. I ask you, is it easy or is it hard to make that dua? It's easy. True. Because you love your mother. It's very easy for the son to wake up at night in the nocturnal prayer and to make dua. The same law applies to the father. The same law will apply to the wife. Same law will apply to the husband, to your children. That is one level. It's very easy. It comes natural. We'll speak about it in a few moments, why it is natural. Then you have a friend. Now you make this dua for your mother and your father and your children and your wife for weeks and weeks without miss. You go to the hospital, second scenario, you go to the hospital. You see your friend there. Doctor says 50-50. Are you consistent with your dua for your friend as you were consistent for your mother? No, it drops. Slightly it will drop. I'm not saying it is hard to make that dua, but it will not be at the same intensity. The emotions will not be the same. For your mother and your father, you may be crying every day, but for your friend, you may cry one day, and the other days, you just may be making dua by speech, by the tongue, lip service. And maybe one or two days you will skip, you will not wake up for the nocturnal prayer. Then there is one person that you do not know, like now after the speech, I'm going to make an announcement for two people that are sick. I don't know them, you do not know them. Randomly we're going to make an announcement. We may make dua after Jummah for him or her, but we won't wake up for tahajjud for that person because we don't have that ta'alluq. Now let's say there was a tyrant, a zalim, who put all of us under immense pain. One person, he put us under immense pain. And now I say, make dua for him, that Allah give him health because he's in the hospital. You won't even make dua for him after Jummah. Basically, dua comes, relationships are built based upon the ta'alluq of the heart with the person. That's how it is. We have a stronger ta'alluq of the heart with our mother and father and brothers and sisters. We don't have that ta'alluq with our friend, and we do not have that ta'alluq with the average person, and we do not most certainly have that ta'alluq with our enemy. So in proportion to the ta'alluq of the heart, we will react. So whatever is in the heart, keep this in mind, whatever is in the heart towards another person, it will trickle in your limbs. It will trickle. If there is muhabba, there will be muhabba here. You love your wife, that's why you say, I love you. You love your mother, that's why you go and kiss her. The love is inside the heart, so it trickles on your tongue. You dislike a person and you swear at him. Basically, your limbs are the mutarajjim, the translators, the articulator of the inner emotions. Now, if the inner emotion is hasad, and that is jealousy, it has to trickle. Now, a person may have self-control. A lot of people say, look, I have self-control. I will control myself. He may have self-control. It's just like a glass of water. You open the tap, and there's only one drop falling. But one day, it's going to reach the top. It's going to overflow. How much can you control the flow of that tap? It can't be less than a drop. It is going to overflow. So if there is hasad or an evil trait or a spiritual problem inside, you may control it. It may be a drop a day, but it will reach the edge. It has to overflow. And it overflows in your tongue. It overflows in your eyes. It overflows in your ears. It overflows in your hands. It overflows in your body language. And that's why the hadith of Abu Dawood, reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that is very, very well known to us, and we have heard it many a times. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدُ فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدُ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَتَبُ أَوْ قَالَ الْعُشْبُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Avoid jealousy. The Nabi of Allah says, إِيَّاكُمْ, avoid jealousy. Verily, jealousy consumes good deeds. Consumes good deeds. Just like fire consumes dry wood. Dry wood. And then the Rawi says, أَوْ قَالَ الْعُشَبُ. It may not be dry wood, it may be grass, ushb. So there's a confusion in the mind of the Rawi, the narrator. Is it dry wood or is it ushb? Is it grass? What is the meaning of this? Hasad. Let's say I have hasad for Brother Mubarak right now. My hasad is not burning anything. My piles of good deeds are intact. But the Nabi of Allah is diverting our attention to the stage where you will arrive if you do not address the hasad in the primitive stage. If I don't address it now, it will grow. Drop by drop, the vessel will overflow, and then my mouth will speak ill of Brother Mubarak. My hands will do ill to Brother Mubarak. That is the meaning of this hadith. And then when that station arrives, or when I arrive at that station, my good deeds will just burn out, because everything will be transferred into his account. So we need to do something in the initial stages. I'm going to touch upon it. We've run out of time. Touch upon it. We're talking about the antidote, the formula. That person that has hasad for another person, he needs to do one thing. We're going to shed light upon that next week. He has to make dua for the person that he has hasad from. Chudiyan chalengi dil ke upar. Oh, bahut takleef hogi. I don't like Brother Mubarak, I have hasad from him. Even the Quran says, acknowledges this, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. And keep in mind, this ayat has been injected in the Mu'awwadatayn, and Mu'awwadatayn are those two surahs in which Allah has given us rich ayat that allow us to be safeguarded from the shar of the makhluk of Allah. So one of the dimensions of the shar, the evil of the makhluk of Allah, is hasad. And on this hasad, Allah concludes the Quran. On hasad, Allah concludes the Quran. That in itself gives us a very good understanding of how dangerous this ailment is. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ. I seek refuge with Allah from the evil of the envious envy. from the evil of the envious hasid. Har hasad. Har hasid ke hasad se main pana mangta. The Quran concludes on that. And then what does the Nabi of Allah say? It will eat up all your good deeds. Put this all together. And then do not forget about the inception of our forefather. What happened? Hasad was the destructive ailment that threw the Satan from the high, high podium to the lowest of the lowest. So for 1 week, just try to practice this. You don't like somebody? Whenever you're making dua, make dua for him. Because hasad is basically, I don't want Brother Mubarak to flourish. I don't want him to live a good life. So now you're going to say, Ya Allah, give him a beautiful life. Whoa. You're not going to like that. It's going to be very hard for you to say that. But you have to say it. Ya Allah, give him the best life. Ya Allah, give him more than what he has right now. Now that is going to be like stabbing yourself with a dagger. But it is going to work wonders for you. As we will make mention next week, inshallah. Inshallah, we'll try to do that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.